Men Conquering Depression. 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 Hey, good evening, good evening, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time zone you're in. Welcome to the channel, Men Conquering Depression. We are back once again, and listen, it is a pleasure to be here before you, my dudes, my kings, my bros, all across the globe. I see you out there in Russia. I see you out there in Uruguay. I see you out there in Cali. I see you out there in Amsterdam. I see you out there. I see the reports. I see it all across the podcast. I want to thank you so much for just being a part of this channel, and it's a great thing. You know, Men Conquer Depression is all about us. This is a safe place for us. This is our time. This is our community. And guess what, guys? This is our movement, Men Conquering Depression. Yeah, we are alive and well. You can check us out on the web at www.menconqueringdepression.com. You can also check us out on Facebook at Men Conquer Depression. If you got an IG page, this will be on there too. Men_Conquering_Depression. Also, you can check us out on LinkedIn as well. We are live and well there as well. And also, YouTube channel is coming soon with the Roku channel coming upcoming in the summer. I want to thank you once again for tuning to the channel. Before we do that, though, we got to take care of a little logistics. You know, this whole podcast is brought to you by Visionary Concept Corporations, where our motto is see what they aren't seeing, say what they aren't saying, write what they aren't writing, and create what they aren't creating. You know, this visionary thing is all about you. It's all about us taking ourselves to the next level, as well as being the best version of ourselves. So check us out on visionaryconceptcorporation.com. Also, this channel is brought to you by Beards Balm and Brawn, where you can get your skin right and get it tight. That's what it's all about. Also, as for the ladies out there, for you brothers that got women, that got wives and boos and girls and side pieces, yeah, I said it, side pieces, check out Zani Faree. Zani Faree is a skincare company that's revolutionized the world of skincare. We have all organic products. We have things for your hair, things for your skin, things for your nails, things for your backside, things for your front side, and all about my beautiful wife takes care of that. So I just want to clear up a little logistics and just talk to you about some of our brands and things that we do. But most importantly, we'll talk about Men Conquer Depression. I've got a special issue we're going to talk about tonight, and it's called Breaking the Chains. You know, as men, we go through chains. We have chains in our lives. We have chains that hold us down, you know, and I just want you to know and understand that these chains that come to us, they're always with us. It's always something that can hold us back, but we got to recognize the chains. So tonight we're going to talk about how to break chains off our life, how to break chains of worry and anxiety and stress and guilt, how to break chains of hurt and brokenness and abandonment, how to break the chains of inconsistency and rage, how to break the chains of trust issues. You know, as men, we have a lot of us don't trust. And we got to be honest with ourselves, bros. We don't trust other people, let alone we don't even trust ourselves in some instances because of the self-inflicted wounds that we've given each other, the self-inflicted wounds that we've given ourselves. So, you know, these chains, they hover around us and they clamor into us throughout our lives. So we have to self-recognize them first and then understand that they can be eradicated. They can be removed. But it's all about being accountable. It's all about being accountable to your inconsistency. I mean, I was going through a time of being inconsistent and I had to really deal with myself. I had to deal with myself and recognize it as a chain. It's something that needs to be broken off my life, something that needs to be dealt with, something that needs to be eradicated. Because if I don't eradicate this chain of inconsistency, then guess what? I stay stuck. or I stay going around that circle, you know, it's real. It's real. So when you look at that word in, you know, did you in something, and consistent, you know, goes in the word, goes, is connected to it in reference to you just being consistent in something. So you can be inconsistent in something consistently. And that's crazy, right? That's crazy. When you are in something and you're doing it consistently, even though it's bad, you're doing something constantly that's really bad for you. And you not even know it. So that's a chain that can hold you back. That's a chain that can get you to put you in a place and you can stay stuck and actually look at yourself. And I remember looking at myself and saying, wow, like, why am I in this same place? Why am I still here? And I had to look at myself again, like I said, and just take accountability, take stock. I said, okay, I'm doing something wrong. So let's take the stock of myself. How did I get here? So I had to backtrack some things. I had to go back and look at some things on how I got to this place, and then said, okay, I'm not making that turn no more. I'm not turning down that street anymore. I'm not going down that place anymore. And that's how I broke a lot of inconsistency issues in my life. Now, inconsistency comes in different waves. It comes in waves of your emotions. It comes in waves of your mental capacity. It comes in waves of how you view things. It comes in waves of how you see things. And most importantly, it comes in waves of how you feel about things. You know, inconsistency is real, and it will hang on to you for dear life. It will hang on to you because when you allow it to come in your life, or you don't get to a place where you can deal with it, then guess what happens? It becomes a part of you. So you take this inconsistency nature to work. Meaning that I remember the time I was coming to work late consistently. And I was like, wow, why I just can't get up earlier or get out earlier? I was dealing with a spirit of inconsistency. I was dealing with something in my life that had a hold on me. That had a hold on me. And guess what? That inconsistency carried over into my prayer life. It carried over into some of my personal life. It carried over into some of the way I pay my bills. You know, because it's like a downfall. It's like a pyramid of things, that this one thing of inconsistency affects every asset of your life, every aspect of your life. And you have to recognize it. And that's a chain that holds on to us as men. So we think that we are in a place of doing great things, you know, but we can't get to that place of doing great things if we have not dealt with that spirit of inconsistency, or have not dealt with that chain of inconsistency. Remember, a chain holds you and it holds you down. A chain locks you up. A chain puts you in a place that becomes uncommon to you, but the longer it stays, it becomes common to you. Think about that. A chain that becomes uncommon to you when it first arrives, but because it hangs on for so long and it becomes a part of you, it becomes what? common with you. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? So we want to take stock of ourselves in this inconsistency phase and just be honest with ourselves. You know, I have to be honest with myself numerous times. Like, Fred, you know, this ain't right. Fred, you got to get better at this. Fred, you know, this, you know, you got to get better at this. And many times I had to pause, had to have a conversation with myself, had to really dig deep down inside and say, okay, am I really moving in the right direction, you know, to my goals, to my purposes? Because when you look at that, you know, inconsistency, it stops all the things you're trying to do. It stops all the things that you're connected to, all the things that you want to be successful at. You have to start with your inner self. You cannot be successful from an outer sense if you don't have success in the inner sense. And I mean, that's what I said about your emotions. That's what I talked about, your mental capacity. That's what I talked about, your physical. That's what I talked about, your feelings. You know, you have to understand that this whole thing of inconsistency will clamber onto you and hold on to dear life. And if you don't recognize and eradicate it, you'll take it with you in your teens, to your 20s, to your 30s, to your 40s. It'll be in your marriage. It'll be how you raise your children. It'll be how you go to work. It'll be how you do a lot of things. And it will show. It will show, and it will show its ugly face time and time again until you make a decision that it's not going to be a part of your life anymore. You know, so when you look at that stronghold, it's a stronghold as well. So we're going to switch over and talk about trust. Yeah, that's a big thing with us men. We don't trust easily because we've been hurt. And a lot of times we don't even understand why we've been hurt, or even recognize the hurt that we have experienced. we haven't even recognized the hurt that we've experienced. So, these trust issues come, especially when men walk into the room with another man, no matter what color they are. The walls go up. I'm a shop steward. I do a lot of other things. I'm always doing stuff with other men, church and things of that nature. And I'm always counseling, praying, and all those things with other men. But I understand and know when you are in the room with a bunch of other men, walls go up. That's when the trust issues come in. Walls go up because the next man is sizing the next man up. He's sizing him because maybe the car he drive, or he heard this about him, I heard that about him, or look at him a certain way. So those trust issues are real. Men, we have trust issues. Let's admit it. We have trust issues. Let's admit it. And I remember I was going through my phase of having trust issues, and I didn't understand why, because I knew I was confident in who I am. I knew then who I was and who I come from. I knew about my lineage. I knew about my African descent. I knew about all those things about me. I knew about my heritage. I knew where I came from. But at the same time, I realized by sitting in a room with other men, I had trust issues. And I was like, and people think trust issues is go along the line of being inferior. It's not that at all. It's not that at all, being having a trust issue and it connects to inferiority. That's not the case. The trust issue comes from you being hurt. The trust issue comes from you not knowing yourself. The trust issue comes from you may having a misstep in your life and not fully knowing, understanding who you truly are. That's why some of the men I counsel and I talk to, I ask them, how much time in a day do you spend with yourself? Yeah, I know it's quiet now. I know it's quiet now because a lot of us men, and I had to come to grips with that as well. A lot of us men don't spend time with ourselves. So how can I not spend time myself and not know me? So how can I not spend time myself and not know me? So when you meet another man and you come into a room with another man and you can see that confidence in that man, you kind of feel, quote unquote, inferior. You kind of feel like, okay, so like he got it all together. And then you start looking at yourself. So that's when that trust issue come into play. Trust issues also come from being hurt. Trust issues come from having trust being broken before you and another person. It could be, to a job. It could be to a family member. It could be to another male, to a male counterpart. It could be to a woman that you was with. But trust issues do, trust issues do permeate in your spirit and permeate in your body, and you can walk in the same room. You could be in the same room, and it's not about a monetary thing. It's not about the color of your skin. It's not about what you drive, who's on your arm, or anything like that. If you got a trust issue, believe me, it's there, and it's going to show itself. You might can camouflage it for a while. You might can hide behind some of the things that you have, some of the things that you've accomplished, some of the things that you monetarily have gained, but at the same time, it's going to show its ugly head because, like I said before, these change, they become a part of you, same way as inconsistency. Trust issues, trust in someone becomes a part of you, and it becomes a part of you. So it has to show itself. It has to show itself, and usually it shows itself in an unappointed time. It shows itself that can lead to embarrassment. It shows itself where it can lead to you just not feeling, you're just not in the right place at the right time with the people that you're with. So we want to be common with understanding ourselves and get a better understanding of why we have these trust issues. Why am I not trusting people? Why is it because of how the world is? That can be one. I get it. How the world is. That could be one. Yeah. For us trusting people, but also, when you don't have the ability to trust, then you put yourself in a place of, you put yourself in a corner, so to speak. You put yourself on the outskirts of things because now you're not trusting. You're not trusting. And I'm not saying trust everybody. I'm not saying trust every person you meet, you sort of trust. No. You do it with caution. When it comes to relationship, men, I do a thing called you have to guard your heart. When you meet someone, you meet a woman, and a lot of times you meet someone and she can be phenomenal, fabulous on the outside and have everything and saying everything that you want to hear. And you let your guard down, you let your guard down, and then you see some things about her that's not, not common or not what you like. And now you're like kind of stuck in this untrusting space, so you know, I want to admonish you to guard your heart when you meet someone and get into a relationship, have a conversation, and let, as I was telling my wife earlier in the day, let that quote unquote 90 day rule go by. Because if you let that go by, the person will show you who they truly are. And they are a good person. They'll be consistent with that. But if there's some intertwining things going on, you'll see it. But, you know, going back to trusting, you know, you have to trust yourself. You have to trust yourself and how you see other people. And a lot of times we don't know how to do that because we're visual. So a lot of times what we see is what we think we're getting. But always remember this, man. Always remember this. There's always something behind what you see. There's always something behind what you're looking at, what you're facing. And that's the true essence of whatever it is. It's always something behind that. You can look at a building. Let's use an example as a building. You can walk to the outside of a building and see the outside of it, and it looked nice and everything. But on the inside, it has its own what? It has its own place. So the inside is not going to look like the outside. But you can look at the outside of something and think it's great or it's to your liking, and inside is actually different. You know, inside is actually different. So with those trust issues, you want to be able to trust yourself first. Get into alignment with yourself and say, you know what? I have to learn how to trust my judgment and trust my judgment with better discernment. Trust my judgment and how I look for people. And one of my common sayings, and I'm a copyright this saying: when a person show you who they are, believe them. I know it's quiet. When a person show you who they are, believe them. Don't change it. Don't try to change it. They're showing you who they are. And it's okay. And it's a good thing when a person shows you who they are, because now the decision becomes what? Becomes yours. If you want to still continue to deal with that who they are, so to speak, quote, or continue to move on from it. And if it's good or bad, you know, you have a decision to make. But, going back to trusting, you have to learn, like I said, how to trust yourself, get better discernment. Also, being around other people that have the ability to trust. Because the ability to trust is really knowing yourself and being able to discern, being able to say, you know what, I know I'm in the right place. You know, so oftentimes, like I said, we let everything on the outside kind of trick us until we think we were something good, and then we find out otherwise, and it's just a whole mess. It's a whole mess. It's a whole mess. Next topic is abandonment. Men, we suffer from abandonment. Yes, we do. We suffer from abandonment. A lot of us has been abandoned by our parents. Some been abandoned by our moms. Some been abandoned by our dads. Some been abandoned by our siblings. You know, this word here, abandonment, is deep-rooted, because abandonment starts, it can start at a young age. It can start when you are young. And abandonment can also start when, not only when you're young, but if you see, for instance, if say you didn't have a dad in your life, father, I'm just speaking hypothetical, and you see your neighbor's son or a friend of yours that you go to school with, his father's in his life, you're going to feel abandoned by that, because you're going to say, wow, Jimmy has a dad, but I don't. Jimmy's dad in his life, but I don't have one in my life. So the spirit of abandonment will come right on in. Will come right on in and make you feel like you're lesser than. I'm going to run down some stuff to you about what abandonment does, because I've been there. I know what that means. You know, it puts you in a place like you don't feel worthy. It puts you in a place like you don't feel important. It'll put you in a place like no one cares for you, because you go through these questions in your mind and these questions in your heart. How could this person, especially say, like I said, if it's your dad or a sibling or a mother or someone close to you, you're going to say, like, how can this person abandon me? Why? How did this person not take care of me or leave me in the space that they did? You know, and it's not to give nobody an excuse. You don't give nobody a pass. But these are the questions that come into your mind. These are the questions that come to your heart when you're dealing with spirit abandonment, because abandonment, it's like you're left alone. That's what it actually means. like someone to, when you abandon something, you left it, it's left alone. Nobody wants to be bothered with it. Nobody wants to give it any attention. Nobody wants to be a part of it. And now you feel like, whoa, is it me? So what all abandonment does, it tricks you to make it think like you're the one that caused the problem. You're the one that caused the problem. Now, I'm going to show you how trust and abandonment are like brothers. I'm going to show you how abandonment and trust are like twins. Trust and abandonment go hand in hand. Watch this. When you've been abandoned by someone, immediately, when you understand, when you feel the abandonment, when you feel it, you have the ability to not trust. You have to, because what happens is you come across people, and then what, you're guarding, you're protecting yourself, saying, you know what, I'm not gonna let this person in. This person might abandon me like the last person. So your trust wall goes up in that abandonment phase. Your trust wall goes up in that abandonment phase, and now you're looking like, okay, I can't get no friends, or I can't get close to nobody because I don't want to feel that pain of being abandoned. Abandoned is a hard pill to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow, and it's dear to my heart. But I'm grateful that my father, which is in heaven, healed me from it and helped me get through that process. Mine came in the form of my relationship. Mine came in the form of divorce, my abandonment, and some parts of my father not being in my life as well. Mine came in that form. But, I thank God that I had a chance to reclaim some things with my dad. I'm thankful that I made a decision in my life. Like, I'm not going to let just my dad live on one side of the town. I'm on the other, and I'm not going to, have a relationship. If you're going through that, if you're dealing with that type of issue with your dad, and I'm not saying give your dad a pass, of course, hold him accountable. But the things I gathered from my father, the information I gathered from him before he passed, and all the years I spent with him, all the times I spent with him, was very fruitful for me. That to this day alone, I carry some of that. I carry some of his wisdom. I carry some of his understanding and knowledge. I don't bring up the whole idea that he abandoned me. I don't bash him for that. I don't get caught up in that, because he has to be judged by God. But I'm grateful and thankful that he let me back in his life and allowed us to form a bond, allow us to form a relationship, allow me to learn from him, allow me to sit under him. And I'm grateful for that. So that helped me helped me from going abandoning to being secure, because abandonment will mess with your security as well. Abandonment will put you in a place where you're not secure within yourself, and then that's, like I said, that's how it runs hand in hand with trust. So of course, and when you go through this abandonment phase, or when you want to reclaim yourself with someone, or get connected, say, with your dad, like I did. Now, I always use me. I'm very transparent. I always use my issues, and I have no problem with using my issues, or using some of the things that I've been through, or some of the things, because it doesn't take away from me being a man. It doesn't take away from me who I am as a king, as a leader. It doesn't take away from me as being a visionary. It doesn't take away from me being a husband and all the other things that God has blessed me with. So when I connected back with my dad and we start having our relationship, I had to forgive him. I know it's quiet now. I had to forgive my father. I didn't even, and he's so crazy, I didn't care how it happened. I didn't even care, because we both had an agreement. Let's do this. I didn't care how it happened. I didn't care what his reason was. I didn't care, blaming anybody, nothing like that. I didn't care about none of that stuff. All I wanted, because he looked like me, he had my same last name, and I'm a junior, he's a senior. All I wanted was a piece of that. All I wanted was a piece of what he had for me. That's all I wanted. So I had made a conscious decision to get from him, and I got a lot from him in my adulthood, more than I got in my childhood. And that's okay, but I still got from him. So I want to encourage you, brothers, tonight, if you are listening to me and you are going through something with your dad, and your dad is still living, your dad is still breathing, I don't care if he's in Russia, Ukraine, Uruguay, Saudi Arabia, Puerto Rico. There's a phone, there's an email, there's a text, there's a Snapchat, there's a video that you can connect with him. You make it your business. And I promise you, my dudes, I promise you, if you reconnect with your father in some type of capacity, it will bless your life. It'll fulfill your life. It'll bless your life. It'll bless your life because it blessed mine. Because I wouldn't be here today once it wasn't for him. I wouldn't be standing here today carrying on my last name tradition through him. I wouldn't be here because of our connection, what happened and everything, and how we reclaimed our lives and reclaimed. And it helped him too. Believe it or not. See, people don't understand. When you reclaim yourself with your father, what happens is this helps resuscitate his life. My father had just got a new look on life. He was like, whoa, I like this. You know, we start doing things together. We both like football. We had a lot of things in common, you know, so it was a great thing. You know, but one of the greatest things came about it is the knowledge and the understanding I gained from him, you know, sitting with him, talking with him. You know, he was in Vietnam and stuff like that. So I was able to learn from him, you know, learn from some of the things he'd been through. And he confessed some things to me, some of the things he struggled with. So I was able to really relate and have compassion on them. That's another thing too. When you forgive someone, you got to have compassion. You got to have compassion mixed with grace for that person. Because remember, one day somebody's going to have to give you compassion. Somebody's going to have to give you some grace, and somebody's going to have to forgive you, because we are human. Let's be real. We are human. You're going to do something one day, or have, if you haven't done it by now, if you're grown, to someone, well, that person's going to have to forgive you. You know, it's going to have to forgive you, not only forgive you, but give you some grace, give you some compassion, and, you know, start this love triangle all over again. So, you know, that was a great phase of my life, able to recapture my time with my dad, also just connect with him in a lot of ways and build with him. So I'm grateful for that. So I want to encourage you tonight, you brothers that are dealing with that, you know, and that's what, you know, a big part of abandonment come from when we are abandoned at a young age. Sometimes we get abandoned in relationships. You know, my other part of abandonment, other phase of abandonment, quote unquote, was from my divorce. You know, I was with a woman for so many years, over 15 years. And, you know, when we split, you know, people understand, and I talked about this in the last podcast, the power of divorce, you know, you become abandoned. You know, you become abandoned. So I had to deal with that. And if you want to catch more of that, you know, it's one of my previous podcasts. I talked about divorce and that word D-I-D means divide and voice. And I broke that whole thing down. So you need to get on that podcast and listen to that and get a quick synopsis of if you're going through divorce. I have been through divorce. I'm quite sure you can relate to all the things that, you know, I said on that podcast. But that thing really hurt me, man. And it, you know, I suffered from abandonment. See, people think this is real. Man, we suffer from these things. But, you know, like everything, like I always say, I had to come to grips with it. I had to say, do I want to stay in this place the rest of my life? Do I want to stay abandoned the rest of my life? Do I want to stay in this place? Am I going to just continue to lull around and talk about this thing the rest of my life? Or am I going to do something about it? And I made a choice to do something about it. And that's, you know, get healed from it. I had to give, you know, my ex compassion. I had to forgive her. You know what I'm saying? And I'm quite sure she had to forgive me of my stuff, you know, and I had to give her some more grace and pray and move forward. And that's what you need to do in anything, especially when you're going through a divorce. That's when you're going through things, you know, that when things get divided and things get broken up, you know. So abandonment is real. We've suffered from a job abandonment, you know. A lot of times, you know, when I say what I'm doing right now, I love what I'm doing. I love it. I'm a great speaker. I'm a great author. You know, I'm a writer. I love infusing. I love encouraging. I love infusing men. This is what I love to do. I can do this for free. This is nothing. I can do this in my sleep. You know, so I love what I do. So when I say that, you know, a lot of times we suffer from things that the abandonment issues come from us, from the things that we're not doing. So, you know, a lot of times we abandon our gifts. You know, this is one of my gifts. This is one of my gifts, speaking and talking and encouraging. So I want to encourage you to find out what your gift is. Find out what you do best, what you love to do, what you do for free, what you do, you know, people don't have to give you money for. You'll do it anytime. You're doing it in the rain, the snow, the hail, the sleet. It don't matter. I want you to find out about that. So abandon maker come in that place too. And then also, we can abandon, we abandon ourselves. And what do you mean? Yeah, we abandon ourselves. We abandon ourselves in our self-inflicted wounds of decisions. Don't you know when you make a bad decision, it becomes a self-inflicted wound? Don't you know and understand that? When you make a bad decision, and I used to be the king of bad decisions. I'm having an epiphany right now. You got to excuse me. I used to be the king of bad decisions. I was the king of them. I was making one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And I thought I was, listen, I thought I was going crazy, man. But I had to realize and own up to my decisions, you know. So we abandon ourselves with our bad decisions. So if think about some of the things that you've done and some of the things that you wind up in, and you look and say, man, how did I get here? How did I make the decision? How did I connect with this person? How did I get caught up in this? How did this happen? It's a bad decision. So when you put that on yourself, you actually abandon yourself in that way. You abandon yourself in that way. And it's not a good feeling when you can actually look at that and be like, whoa, I did this to myself. You know, I got to get better. I got to get better. And I remember going through that phase as well, you know, dealing with myself and making the bad decisions. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to make this decision again. I'm not going to make this bad decision again. Because you got to understand, these same bad decisions you make, they keep coming back. They come back. It's like a rodeo. They come back around until you conquer it. They come back around until you conquer it. They come back around until you best of it. Till you do your best and overcome it. Until you overcome it. So these, you know, this is another chain, abandonment, that can hold you down. And this chain is a long, old, rusty chain. This abandonment chain is rusty. Why? Because it can be with you for years, especially if someone or something abandoned you at a young age. You know, someone or something abandoned you in a place where, you know, 10 years later, you're still thinking about it. You're still talking about it. You're still giving it a voice. Giving the thing that hurt you a voice, and or who hurt you a voice, and it done long gone. They on their way. They somewhere else, probably another state, another country, doing their own thing. Ain't thinking about you, but you're still holding on to that abandonment that happened. That's why you have to do that self. You have to do that in a perspective of self. You have to do that in a perspective of who you are. You have to check your emotions. You have to check the things that you've been through, you know, and how you went through this thing in reference to abandonment. You know, another thing we're going to slide over to is hurt. You know, men, we do get hurt. We don't admit it, but we do get hurt. We do get hurt. We go through hurt. And hurt and pain is two different things. So we're not going to, I'm going to slide off into pain in a minute, but hurt is different. Hurt is different. When a man gets hurt, it's entirely different than a woman. And our hurt, we hide, but also our hurt, we cover with anger. So our hurt comes from when we're hurt, we want to get back at. And that could be coming from, that could be coming for most people, but it's different with a man. When a man gets hurt, it's a shot. It's a shot that he takes, but it's a shot he said, I'm going to get back because I've been hurt, you know, and our hurt runs deep as well. Our hurt cuts deep. It runs deep. It's not a good feeling. You know, I've been hurt numerous times as a man, you know, and I've cried numerous times as a man. You know, I've sat and talked to God numerous times about hurt. And you know, that can be a chain that can hold you down. You know, it can hinder you from the best relationship. It can hinder you from your best life. It can hinder you from just doing the normal things. Because what hurt does, hurt, like I said, it cuts deep. It cuts deep and it puts you in a place where it puts you in an isolated place. And men, we don't talk about that because our isolation comes from, it can come from drinking alcohol. See, isolation is not all about you sitting alone in the corner, in a dark corner. No, isolation can put you in that alcoholic realm. Isolation can put you in that drug realm. Isolation can put you in that realm where you want to get back at that person, you know, and that's what hurt can do. It can put you in that place. So isolation is not about you're sitting somewhere and you're just wallowing in it. No, it isolation, like I said, especially alcohol, isolation will make a man go drink. Because I went and drank. I've been there. I know what it's like to drink. Drink my hurt away. But wake up the next day, the hurt's still there. The hurt is still there. Now, hurt has a twin as well, and his name is pain. But they don't play fair. Hurt and pain don't play fair. Nope, they don't. They don't have no. There's no rules and guidelines to what hurt and pain can do to you. I need y'all to feel me on this. I need y'all to catch this because I'm about to really drop some wisdom on you. There's no guidelines. There's no guidelines what hurt can do, and what pain can do. Hurt operates in its own rules. And so do pain. Are y'all hearing me? Hurt operates in its own realm. It has its own avenue, has its own way. And pain has its own way as well. Pain has its own way. Pain is more of an affliction. Hurt is more of an indiscretion. But the indiscretion of the hurt runs deep. Pain is more or less on the outside. Hurt is more on the inside, but I call them twins too because they work synonymous. You know, they check with each other. this is crazy, right? They check with each other. Hurt check with pain. Pain, where you at? I'm over here. Okay, I'm over there. You know what I'm saying? And they move synonymous. So hurt can come. Hurt runs inwardly, and pain runs outwardly. And pain. Why do I say? I'm going to get back to hurt for a minute, but why do I say pain runs outwardly? Because pain, you show it in your face sometimes. You show it in your actions. You show it in your attitude. You show it in how you deal with people. You show it in your interaction. I remember taking pain to work with me one time, and I was just pissed off and angry with everybody. You know, at the job, and I didn't even know why. But then I realized why. You know, I'm going through some pain right now. And I was like, but the people in my job don't deserve that. So that was that outwardly thing. You know, when you slide back over that hurt, that inwardly thing, you suffer in silence with that thing. That's why I said, you know, alcohol could be your best friend. You suffer in silence. Hurt will make you suffer in silence. Hurt will put you in a place where you're suffering in silence. You're at a place where you, it's like, no, it's like, I gave this analogy some time ago to some brothers I was speaking to. You know, hurt, it's like you're on an island and there's sharks going around the island. Like, you can't even leave off the island of hurt. You can't even leave off the island of those chains of hurt because if you do, you're not equipped enough to leave off the island yet because you haven't dealt with the hurt. So you're susceptible to what? Getting bit again. You're susceptible to getting bit again. You're susceptible to being hurt again. So this is why hurt runs deep in a man, and it can fester. You know, with men, like I said, we suffer in silence, and by suffering in silence, we push everything down. Remember, my code word for depression comes from the word deep. You know, when you look at the word deep or depress, depression is something that you press down. And men, that's what we do with our issues. We take whatever we're dealing with, and we press it down. We take another issue we're dealing with and we press it down. This is how these chains get linked and get formed. So your inconsistency gets connected to your trust issues. Your trust issues get connected to your abandonment. And your abandonment get connected to your hurt. And they form a chain. They form a chain. And all they do is pull you down even more. All they do is, and like I said, the hurt is one of the oldest ones because that hurt stays with you. You could be hurt from a mother. You know, maybe looking at one of the siblings and one of your siblings and you thinking she loved that sibling more for whatever reason, just that whole thing. So that hurt is real. That hurt is real. That hurt is, it runs deep rooted, and you will carry that thing for a while because I did it as well. I did it until I recognized it and I said, and I understood, you know, these things that I'm talking about, my brothers, you have to eradicate and get rid of because they will stay with you for years. I'm telling you, I'm speaking truth because these things used to stay with me for years. They become a part of you. They go to the gym with you. They go to the market with you. They go to you with you to the job. They go with you to everywhere you go. And, you know, they become so common that what they do, what happens is they become a part of you. So we want to alleviate that. We want to break that chain of hurt, abandonment, inconsistency. That trust issue thing is real. Men, we don't trust, but hurt is one of our biggest things that we suffer in silence for, you know, and it's real. And I just want to encourage you tonight, if you're dealing with hurt, you can hit me up on my website, menconqueringdepression.com. You can DM me, hit me up in the inbox. We can have prayer. We can talk. You know, I've been there. I'm transparent. You know my you know, this is what I do. This is who I am. I'm transparent. Everything I've been through, I don't mind talking about anything that I've been through, because I'm not ashamed about anything that I've been through, because I've been delivered from it all. So I don't have no problem talking about what I used to struggle with, you know, because that gave me freedom. And actually, every night, Every two nights out of the week, I'm on this podcast, you know. And don't forget Thursdays, Reveal to Heal. We're going to be talking about healing yourself from within this Thursday. But when I'm on this, I get even more healing. You know, this is helping me as well, because this journey of being healing is a process. See, you're not going to get healed overnight from inconsistency. You're not going to get healed overnight from being hurt and abandoned and dealing with trust. It's not. It's a work in progress. Because why? Because it was a work in progress for it to be a part of you. So something that became a part of you over a long period of time has to do what? Has to be unraveled over a period of time. So you're not going to get this right away, but the key is the constant work. That's why when I'm on this podcast with you guys and I'm talking and speaking this truth and speaking this knowledge and understanding, I'm getting even more freer than what I am. This is helping me too. I get taken away by it. You know, I get infused by it. I love it. And it's a great thing. So I want to encourage you tonight about that. Please don't let the hurt stymie your greatness. Don't let the inconsistency stop you from being greater, the greatest version of yourself. Don't let your trust issues, you know, stop you from being the one in the room that you connected to. You never know. If you're dealing with trust issues and you are in a room with a bunch of other brothers, a bunch of other men, that's actually stopping your greatness, because you don't know what this other man can offer you. I've met so many people that poured into my life on little things. I met a man at the train station one time. And I have a workbook coming with Men Conquer Depression. And the reason why I have a workbook coming with Men Conquer Depression, because this man I met at the train station, when I told him about the book and I was speaking about the book and telling him about it, and he's like, why you don't have a workbook with it? Here's this man. I don't even know this man in passing. But if I had trust issues, I would have never approached that man. Nice suit on. Looked like he worked at Wall Street somewhere. A brother coming from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And I'm coming from work. I don't wear a suit to work. But when I saw him, I was immediately like this. I'm approaching him. I went and gave him a call, told him about my website, told him about everything. And the first thing out of his mouth was, why you don't have a workbook? A light bulb just went off. But if I was dealing with trust, I would never approach that brother. And I would never have gotten what? That insight on building my module, my book, and all the other stuff. And speaking of that, I just want to take a pause for the calls. MenConquerDepression.com. Also, there's a Men Conquer Depression Part 2 coming out next year. It's called The Awakening. Y'all ain't ready for that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't ready for that. But also, a year from after the book is dropping, it's going to be a Men Conquer Depression golf tournament. We're going to have that. It's going to be sponsored by my foundation. You can Google it, the Majet Foundation. We're alive and well. We're going to be raising money for men that's dealing with issues of depression, and we're going to be donating money in that form. Also, down the road, my beautiful queen, she's going to be writing a book called Women Conquering Depression. That's right. It's coming. It's going to be a whole family of conquering depression. So it's going to be Men Conquer Depression 1 and 2. It's going to be a Women Conquer Depression 1 and 2. Then we're going to have a children's version called Children Conquer Depression. And then look for the future. We're doing a module that we're going to get a contract with the government as well in reference to building the module where inmates that's coming out of the system, male and female, can actually take one of our classes on Men Conquering Depression and get some things expunged from their record. This is how we move it. This is what it's all about. And I want to encourage you, if you guys got any gifts, got any talents, got any visions, whatever, hit me up on visionaryconceptcorporation.com. You can hit me up. You can DM me as well. We could definitely talk about some things about what your vision is. I'm currently working with a bunch of guys. I have two guys under my company right now that are doing some great things. And it's all about knowledge and understanding. And, you know, I take this motto away from the brother I met on Instagram a couple of nights ago. He said, we all got to eat. We all need to eat. So I'm trying to help make sure everybody eat, because I'm going to eat. But the table, it's always room for one more at the table. There's always room for one at the table. So like I said, if you can, just look for these resources coming down the road. I'm so excited for you guys. I'm so excited for what's happening in our lives. You know, men, we are a movement. We are a community. There's no one, there's no less one, and there's no larger one. We all on the same plane. We all on the same level. We all in the same space. We all striving for what? Being the best version of ourselves. This is Men Conquer Depression coming, it's all about. This is what Men Conquer Depression is all about. One and last thing about the change. This is a really subject, you know, that I want you to understand that you can break the chains off your life. Guilt. Excuse me. Guilt. We're going to talk about guilt. We're going to talk about how guilt makes you feel when you've done the wrong thing. And that's a chain. When you made the wrong decision or you got caught doing the wrong thing, guilt will step right on in and say, hey, I'm here. I'm a part of this. See, guilt wasn't there before you made the decision. Only time guilt comes is when you make the bad decision. And that's when it comes in the guilt. See, guilt tests your psyche. Guilt tests your manhood. It tests you like, how did I do that? You know, so you feel guilty. Feel guilty if you did it to someone else. You feel guilty if you're even doing it to yourself, or you put yourself in a predicament from whatever perspective that the guilt came about. But you know, we can't let guilt hold you down as well. You know, guilt is all about moving to the next day. It's all about forgiving yourself. You know, and that's another thing. Speaking of forgiveness, I want to encourage you, brothers, every day this week, Till we meet again on Thursday, I want you to say to yourself, I forgive you. I want you to look in the mirror before you walk out the door. I don't know what time you go to work, whatever time you get up and go in the morning and go to work. Or you can do it at night. But I practice this. This helped me a lot. I would stand in the mirror and I would point to myself and say, I forgive you. I would tell myself, I forgive you. See, because we've made bad decisions and not been accountable for. We've done the wrong things and not been accountable for. Now, this thing could be twofold, too. What I used to do, you know, in my healing and going through my phase of getting healed from guilt, I would say to the person that hurt me, because hurt and guilt is tied too, but that's another podcast. I would say to the person in the mirror that hurt me, and I forgive you. See, a lot of times you don't have to say to that person per se, quote unquote, physically, I forgive this person. But unforgiveness is like a straitjacket. Just picture yourself in a straitjacket where your arms and everything is tied up and you can't move. That's what unforgiveness does. So what helped me get out of that unforgiveness state was I had to say the name of the person. And I did this for my father. I did this to him as well in his face, but also said it to myself in the mirror to help me gain more traction and deal with him every day. You know, connecting with him. So I should say, you know, I forgive you, Dad. I should practice that thing. So when I would say, I forgive you, Dad, guess what happened? All the hurt, all the abandonment got smaller. It got smaller and smaller and smaller. The more I said it, I got a chance to truly see him for who he is. And that's a human being. I got a chance to see him for who he is, as that's a human being that made a mistake. And I can't judge him. Because I'm not the judge. It's only one judge that I know. You know, so when I said that thing more and more and more, And I said to myself, I forgive you. Don't you know you have to forgive yourself from allowing someone hurt, from alleviating for someone from hurting you? Because sometimes when if you ever been hurt before, you would say to yourself, like, how did I let this happen? How did I let this person hurt me? You know, when you start thinking about the whole thing, when you sit down and think about it, I mean, I was going through a phase of being hurt, and I was like, how did I let this happen? So I had to get into that vein of forgiving myself. And I promise you, if you do this, if you practice this thing, whatever you're dealing with from a hurt perspective, it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And guess what? You're going to grow bigger and stronger and be better at it. Be better at the best version of yourself. And that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's only one of you. It's only one of you. And let's be the best version of ourselves. I want to thank you tonight for listening, guys. I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. I thank you so much. I can go on and on and on, but time is up. You know, and like I said, I want to thank you once again to my brothers in Russia, Uruguay, Puerto Rico, Ukraine, to my brothers out there in Jamaica. I see you out there in Puerto Rico. I see you out there in California, North Carolina, Brooklyn's in the house. I see all you out there. I see you people out there in Manhattan, Jersey. I see my Jersey City people. I see my Elizabeth people. Can't forget the Brick City people out there. Can't forget my brothers down on 19th Ave, 18th Ave, 17th Ave. You know how we do over there. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to get too hood and tell you where I come from. But at the same time, I want to thank everyone from Jersey. I want to thank my family, my beautiful queen, my wife that's so supportive, that pushes me all the time. And I'm thankful for her, and I'm so appreciative of her. She's one of a kind. She's a gem. She's a blessing. And I thank God every day for her. And I'm so grateful. And I'm just thankful. I want to thank my other people in Manhattan. I thank my brothers in Harlem. I see you out there. I see my brothers out there in Harlem. The young lady I met, the Dunkin' Donuts, Chaka, I see you. I see that Harlem thing out there. We had prayer outside the Dunkin' Donuts. Somebody got delivered out there. I remember that day vividly. I want to thank my brother I met at the restaurant last week. You know, all the brothers, my brother Red, just other brothers out here that I've been praying with and talking with, encouraging. You know, you don't understand what this does for me as a man, just to help someone else. It helps me become a better person, a better version of myself. And I just want to encourage you, if you know any men that are going through something, need to talk to someone in confidentiality, need somebody to pray with them, somebody to encourage them, please hit me up on menconqueringdepression.com. They can also hit me up. They can DM me through there. They can also hit me up on my personal number, which is 973-609-8966. You know, it's all about you getting better as an individual. But please look out for the book. The book is coming soon. All the great things are coming with this. I'm so excited. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your growth. You know, tell your young sons, if you got sons, tell your cousins, tell your uncles, your brothers. You know, this is a community. This ain't about color. This ain't about what culture you come from. This ain't about how much money you got or what you have and don't have. All you have to do is be a male. That's it. It's all about you, the male species. And this is our time to heal. This is our time to have a safe place. Men Conquer Depression is a community on the move, on the rise. I want you to understand that. And you are included. We're not leaving. There's no man left behind. You know, I have a segment coming up for that as well on my visionary agenda. No man is left behind. That's right. No man is left behind. But I want to thank you once again. Please continue to tune in. Please continue to share. You know, anybody that needs a good word, you know, of encouragement, please, you know, spread the podcast. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And once again, we want to just thank you. Once again, don't forget menconquerthepression.com. Don't forget all the things that we're doing. And stay tuned. Peace out. Talk to you soon. no talking and discussing. It's time to break the chains. It's time to break the chains. It's time to break the chains. It's time to reveal, to heal. It's time to walk in your purpose and in your destiny. It's your time, man. It's your time, my brothers. It's your time. Men conquering depression. Men conquering depression. Men conquering depression. You're not in this alone. You're not in this alone.